Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Team WWL, we are back, but I'm not Christian. We gave him the night off. I'm Jeff Nowak, WWL digital sports producer, alongside the Cajun Cannon, the great Bobby Hebert, heading into hour four. And, you know, he hasn't kicked me out yet. We've been talking about grits.
We both like grits. Who doesn't like grits? I got a grit story.
It's got a grit story.
Yeah. No, you know, players come from all over the country. Brian Hansen, he was a punter. Made the Pro Bowl as a rookie. Never made the Pro Bowl again. Made it as a rookie. He was like the Great Dane. Him and the Great Dane, blonde hair. They were both single. We'd call them ABBA, you know, like Dancing Queen. You know, you could see. But Brian Hansen from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And to him, I mean, who would do this in the South? He put sugar on his grits. I'm like, what? I said, it's not cream of wheat.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, it's not a cereal.
Yeah, it was almost like cream of wheat. So up north, I guess they had put sugar
on
it.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No, I'm like butter and, you know, salt and pepper. Or pepper if it's ready, you know, but butter. Sugar... And so, Brian Hansen, I'll never forget this. You put sugar
on... flambeau it next.
Yeah, sugar on his grit. So,
You said it was a good grit story? That sounds like a bad grit story.
Yeah, it was just because I remember, because it was so weird. Yeah,
That is strange. It's like people who pour the milk before they put in the cereal. Like, that kind of weird.
Why would you do that?
People in the world that do it, and they just like to watch the world burn. Anyway.
Yeah, because it's soggy. I don't know. You want the cereal to be soggy?
That might be it. Yeah. But anyway, let's go to the Oakenheart Jewelers Talking text line. We've got Jack over in Covington. He's been waiting on hold for a while. He wants to talk about Vegas. He wants to talk about Bobby's impression of the Saints this year. Jack, what do you got for us?
Yo.
Oh, hey, Joe.
No, it's Jack.
It's Jack.
Jack got banned by Christian for calling Gale a...
Okay.
Well, let's not, do it again.
Yeah. So, Jack, what you got?
Yeah, you're telling everybody you're going to win 10 games. Vegas got you at 8.
I mean, I'm not playing in a single game. So.
Come on, stop.
Yeah, no, eight and a half. No, it started at 7.5, then it went to 8.5. So, I mean, considering we won, 9 games last year and all the injuries and 4 different quarterbacks, why is that far-fetched, Jack?
That's just it. They're all coming off of injuries. You got Winston. And what makes you think Winston's going to be like Drew Brees?
No one said that.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying Winston's going to be like Drew Brees. I trust our quarterback room. I trust Jameis, combination of Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton.
I think
that we're going to get that kind of production out of the quarterback meeting room to get to 10 wins.
I mean, let's be honest. We're talking about a team that won 9 games without a starting quarterback last year. We're not talking – Jameis doesn't have to be Drew Brees to get 10 wins.
And all of a sudden, the Dolphins game, how can you count that loss as the COVID game? I mean, it was like – I mean, why did we even play that game? I mean, come on, that was outrageous.
It's the start of the Ian Book legend.
Go down the schedule. When you have time, go down the schedule and look at it and tell me where your 10 wins are.
I'm going to tweet this out. I already did that for you, so I'm going to tweet it out. Go check it out at Jeff Nowak. I went through every game.
Were you beating Philadelphia?
I'm going to tweet out right now.
In the brutal weather.
No,
are you beating Philly?
Well,
I think I had that as a loss.
Yeah, he probably listen. I probably had that, Jack. I got to look at my schedule because I broke it down, and I think I was brutally honest. Now I'm not saying 11, 12 wins, but I'm saying 10. But like until we stop Philadelphia from running, we stop every other team from running. But the Eagles have had two games; they've had 500. So I had that as a loss, and it was going to depend also what happens with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Is Deshaun going to be out the whole season? Or if Deshaun Watson's out the whole season, I think they go get Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you think, Jeff? You think they're going to stay with – let's say Deshaun's out the whole season.
Talking about the Browns?
The Browns, yeah.
Yeah, it's possible they make a trade, although they don't have a lot of assets left right. to trade. I will say that for the Saints to get to 10, 11 wins,
yeah.
they have to go 4-0 against the Panthers and the Falcons.
Yeah,
those
so
are
Jack-
must. Both of those. Those are that's a must sweep. You know, because the rest of the schedule is so difficult, but those are games they should win all four.
Yeah, so Jack, there's four wins right there. You might say, well, that never happens. You know, what happened with Atlanta? I look at Matt Ryan. He looked like the MVP last year when he beat the Saints. He split. No, I think to truly, I'm not saying you have to go 6-0 in the NFC South, but I'd be shocked if we're not at least 4-2 or let's say 5-1. We split with Tampa Bay. We've dominated Tom Brady. Who would have thought, Jack from Covington, that on Sunday Night Football, that they could have scored an improbable score, 9-0? I mean, Tom Brady's offensive line is struggling in Tampa. I think that bodes well for the Saints. Tom Brady does not like to play New Orleans. And you might say, well, the game that counted, he won. Jack, think about this in the playoffs. I think he threw for like 180-some yards. They beat us in the playoffs, that being Tampa Bay, beat the Saints because we turned over the football. You remember, what was the tight end?
Jared Cook.
Jared Cook, he fumbled the ball. We were going in there to take the lead. So other than that, with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers against the Saints, we've dominated them. And you got to be honest about that, Jack. And you might say, well, how do I think 10 wins? Now, Jack, think about this. You look how strong the AFC is versus the NFC. And the top three teams, this is from a national perspective and not from Texas, because the Dallas Cowgirls always got hope, but they ain't won anything in a quarter of a century. And I think Jerry Jones is their worst enemy because, oh, this is the year. This is the year. Jerry Jones is always saying that. But you look at, like I said this earlier, about 2.5 hours ago. Okay, you look at the Rams. You look at Green Bay, and you look at Tampa Bay. Green Bay and Tampa Bay, obviously, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. And then the Rams. Okay, they're Super Bowl champs. But look, this wasn't like 2 or 3 years ago. That was last season. We kicked Aaron Rodgers and the Packers behind. And then what did we do to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady? So if that's representing the NFC, you say, well, I'm not saying we're the best in the NFC, but if you want to go with the Rams, whatever, and you look at the NFC, I don't know what the Eagles are going to do. I hope the Eagles come out on top of the NFC East because if they do, that means Dallas isn't winning. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, thanks for the call, Jack, from Covington, if that is your real name. And we'll be coming back. We're going to take a sharp pivot here, and we're going to get into Pelicans offseason. We've got Ollie Kosel of the Bird Rights coming in to drop some knowledge. Stick around on WWL, the Big 870 FM 105.3.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk, ticking up to 8 o'clock. Jeff Nowak alongside Bobby Hebert. We got camp again tomorrow, another long day of camp. But what else are you looking forward to tomorrow, Bobby?
Yeah, I might try and make it down the Golden Meadow, you know, and buy a LaFouche at Rouse's. They're having the bourbon tasting allocated in hard-to-find bottles from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or till it's all gone. So Rouse's Markets tomorrow at Alex Plaisance Boulevard in Golden Meadow. They'll have the bourbon tasting. And I tell you what, it's been real popular, and they're doing this at different Rouse's stores. So if you're down the bayou or heading to Grand Isle or Fouchon, or you're going fishing and making your way between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. at Rouse's in Golden Meadow, they have the bourbon tasting, hard-to-find bottles, and it'll be going on until 10 to 12 p.m. or until it's gone. It might disappear sooner than that time frame. But a great opportunity to have some great bourbon tasting on Saturday morning. Why not?
Who doesn't love some good bourbon? I know there was once a time where I needed some bourbon to get through a long, long NBA season down in New Orleans. But things have changed recently. Things have changed for the better. And yes, I do kill it with segues. We have Ollie Kosel on the line. We're going to get into some Pelicans talk. I know it's not Pelican season, but I'm excited about the Pelicans, and I know a lot of people are too. Ollie, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. It sounds like you guys are too. It's Friday. So
have we started the bourbon already? Maybe.
Yeah. Friday, Friday. So Ollie, I'm looking at, I don't know if we could take anything from it, but basketball season is here. I'm looking, the preseason schedule came out, includes one game at the Smoothie King Center. It's against the Pistons. But it seems like they're definitely trying to promote the brand. When I'm looking at, I think this might happen probably every year, don't you think, that having a preseason game in Birmingham, considering their G League affiliate against the Hawks, that seems like that'd be a great game to have annually in Birmingham, considering the proximity from the Hawks and the Pelicans to Birmingham, kind of meeting halfway. So what is your take on that as far as being part of the Pelicans' future and trying to promote their brand?
Yeah, I think it's smart. And look, we're 2 months away from really seeing basketball again, right, with the preseason starting up. And I do like several things about it, as you mentioned. First of all, the preseason schedule. Finally, they're not playing 8, 9, 10 games anymore, right? They've now played like basically 4 or 5, so I'm liking that. I like that, you know, you only just have a handful, don't have to worry about injuries. Guys are mostly going to be in a gym working on their games. The team's going to be trying to get the chemistry, right? You want to save the competitive juices for the stuff that counts. But as to your point, yeah, I think that's wonderful that you're going to need to promote, right, the Pelicans. As to where the Saints, boy, I mean, everybody knows that they cover – I don't know how many states down here in the Gulf region, but pretty much what? All the way in the parts of Texas going that way. And of
the
course,
Florida Panhandle, Florida. Yeah.
Right. So it'd be nice if the Pelicans could have something similar, right? Get at least a foothold in some places. I know when I lived in Mobile, people barely even knew that New Orleans even had an NBA team. So I know, I'm sure some of that's changed, but having that G League team in Birmingham, that's going to help. And I think that's going to be a wonderful place to just catch some games, right? They're going to be cheap, first of all. Pelicans have had some really good talent. We saw last year, right, who went through the G League. I mean, Jose Alvarado was there to start the season. We know that, you know, Trey Murphy played a few games. There were other guys that were worthy of seeing, like Jared Harper. So there's definitely competitive basketball you can go watch, right, for especially somebody that's dying for NBA basketball and you live, say, miles, like 200, 300 miles from the closest NBA city like Birmingham. So, yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Now, Ollie, well, when you look at it, boy, I think even though it is football season, you cannot afford to, you know, go 1-9 or whatever it might be. But to me, it's going to be significant. Can the Pels build upon their somewhat surprised run to the playoffs last season, especially after C.J. McCollum and what occurred then? Because when you think about it, you know, that's one thing. Can you be in the hunt year in and year out? I think the fan base, any fan base, appreciates supporting a winner. But they've made the playoffs in consecutive seasons only twice in franchise history. So how important is that to build upon what they did last season? And now Zion coming back.
Yeah, for people that have been following this team, especially, they know this. Pelicans always seemingly get off the bad starts, right? First 10 games of a regular season, you can guarantee they're under 500. And you want to see that change. And usually it is a good inkling of what the team's going to be doing in the regular season by what they do in the preseason. A lot of people talk about that really bad start they had the last year, but I remember the preseason, and it was terrible. There was probably a handful of quarters and within quarters that I thought was competitive basketball. Otherwise, New Orleans was really bad. So a lot of us that were behind the scenes, we knew the team was going to start off fairly poorly because they just looked awful in preseason. So you don't want to see that again, right? You don't want to come start this season coming off such a great run, as you just alluded to, Bobby, that playoff run, and face plant, basically. So I'm not expecting it, but I really hope that, you know, the injuries stay away and that they're competitive. They showed that, hey, when Willie Green's got his main guys out there, that they're winners, right? That they play really well. That's what I'm hoping to see, and I think we will.
Yeah, and relative to health, you know, one of the obviously the bigger storylines of this offseason is the kind of health and weight incentives in Zion's contract. And I know there's been a lot of jokes made about, you know, one thing or another. But I, you know, when I see that, you know, I kind of take that as, you know, this is a guy who very easily could have played hardball with a lot of these clauses in the contract. And it's kind of similar to the Kyler Murray situation where it's kind of this weird clause, but it makes sense when you kind of put it in practice. And I see that as kind of an indicator that he, you know, I think he's like in coordination with the team. It's like, okay, you guys need this in the contract to feel comfortable, and I'm going to put this in there because I'm committed. And at least that's how I see it. And I'm curious, you know, as you kind of look at this and you look at this team and you look at the future surrounding Zion, you know, how do you see him kind of fitting into that larger structure?
Yeah, so as far as his new contract, I'll be honest with you, I don't think we'll ever really even be talking about either the games clause that he's got to hit in case he happens to injure that foot again, right, because of a prior injury. There's a clause for that. And of course, there's a clause, as you mentioned, the weight thing. And I'll tell you what, for the Pelicans to invoke that and to be able to dock some pay, right, remove some guaranteed money from his account, they would have to waive him, guys. There's no way on God's green earth that is going to happen. Right. So the only reason that these de-escalators are in there is for the Pelicans to protect themselves in case that worst case scenario happens. Right. Say he suffers a career ending injury or something like that. Then, of course, you're going to use those clauses. But otherwise, we're not going to hear about them. In fact, I think more than anything, I think we should talk about the escalator in it. Right. As to where everybody's focused on something taken away from his guaranteed money. I think he's going to come out and have one of the better seasons in the NBA to where he's going to win probably an All-NBA. Get on one of those All-NBA teams. Right. There's three of them. And if he does that, his contract over the 5 years, once it starts next season, it's not going to be 193. It's going to be $231 million, right? So you got to believe he's gunning for that. And everybody I've talked to within his camp, they're saying he is. So I'm expecting a really big season. I'm not worried about us talking about, you know, another lost season or anything like that.
Now, Ollie, I don't know if you've had to address this. I think this is more from a national perspective. When you look at player movement and dealing with Kevin Durant, and remember, I think I've seen a couple of shows where maybe they were talking about the best option might be because of the team. Boy, if somehow you got to give up something to get something, boy, but if Kevin Durant could be hooked up with Zion, you know, like B.I. and what you'd be shipping to Brooklyn. But what is your take when that all came about? Is that just like just to write a story or something, or was there any truth to that?
Well, it was more, you know, Kevin Durant's going to require, especially when you saw that Rudy Gobert trade go through, and now what you're hearing about Spider, right, Donovan Mitchell over there in Utah, that it's going to require a heck of a package just to land a star. And Kevin Durant, if Rudy Gobert got that many draft picks, well, boy, you're really going to have to pony up and give that much more to get a Kevin Durant. But on top of that, you're going to need star players like a Brandon Ingram. So the Pelicans made sense because they can meet what Brooklyn's looking for, and most teams can't, right? Either they have a lot of good players or they have a lot of draft picks, but it's rare that a team has both. And Pelicans obviously are one, just like Toronto Raptors. So they naturally got thrown in the conversation. I know that the Pelicans, you know, kicked the tires on Kevin Durant, but from what I've been told, they're not going to trade Brandon Ingram for Kevin Durant. So to me, that deal is just not going to happen. So it's not really even worth talking about. because that's what Brooklyn wants, and New Orleans isn't going to give him up. So kind of the end of the story there.
Now, Ollie, what is your take that maybe an individual or player, not that I'm saying come out of nowhere, but like a Herb Jones, and all of a sudden, boy, you're talking about his game, like, man, all defensive team, and when everything unfolded. But who's maybe going to be a player that we're not really talking about now or not familiar with that could surprise us this upcoming season?
I think the biggest step forward we're going to see is honestly probably from Trey Murphy. You know, because Herb Jones, yeah, he can improve the three-point shot. There's a few things he can add, but he's not going to surprise anybody. And we're not going to be surprised by Jose Alvarado, right?
Right.
He steps on the court, you know he's going to pester the heck out of somebody, and he's going to do some other things, right, that get the crowd on the Pelicans' side. But Trey Murphy, he didn't play for a big stretch of games last season, and it wasn't really until about the middle of March or first, second week of March that he started, you know, seeing time again regularly and contributing. So I think this guy's going to be, from the get-go, one of the main guys that Willie Green leans on, especially off the bench. And look, he's probably going to end up being the team's best shooter, right? We've seen what he can do, like, in summer leagues and even in preseason, right, and what he did back in Virginia. But we didn't really see it last year outside of a few games right here or there. I think we're going to see a lot more consistency, like I said, to where, boy, when you put him out there, if you leave him alone, if you go double B.I., Zion, and you leave Trey open, he's going to make you pay with 3 points every time.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the reasons you can be surprised by players is you have a lot of minutes played by people you don't know about.
Right.
And that's just not going to be the case this next year. One of those, you know, new players that you are expecting to see is going to be Dyson Daniels. I know we didn't get to see much of him at all at the summer league. Kind of felt like the Pelicans needed to just get out of Dodge before half the roster got hurt.
Right.
Prayers to EJ Liddell. Hopefully he's recovering well from that ACL. What did we see from Dyson in that short time, you know, before the ankle injury? And, you know, what are the expectations for him?
Yeah, Jeff, you're not kidding, first of all. I mean, I was scared to watch the way guys were falling out left and right from game to game. And unfortunately, yeah, Liddell suffered that major injury. But with Dyson, I know we only saw, I think it was like 9 minutes or something like that. But I saw enough to where I had heard his ball handling was much better than people probably thought it was. We knew his defense was going to be great, and it was. I saw the way he just shut down people from trying to get by him on drives. He just didn't allow them around him. And he was great there in weak side defense, saw a couple blocks. He's a great rebounder. But it was the passing, like I said, to where he was setting up guys, and even though he didn't have, you know, a lot of assists, I saw him make the right passes to where in the NBA game, he's going to have Zion B.I. finishing those plays. That's where the guys he was with out there, they couldn't finish. Like, for instance, Matkovic. He's the Euro center that's not going to be coming over, right? Falcons own his rights, but he's going to stay in Europe for at least a year. But he couldn't finish a couple of beautiful should have been dimes for Dyson Daniels. So I think what we're going to see out of Daniels is a lot similar to what we saw at Alonzo Ball. At least that's what I'm expecting, right? A guy that can defend just about any position. And if there's a fast break to be had, you can count on him pushing the pace and finding guys. And he's going to shoot the open three, and hopefully he'll make them. That's going to be the biggest question mark, right? G League, he didn't really hit it consistently outside of maybe the last, you know, 8, 9, 10 games in the G League, but he's never been known as a shooter. He's going to have to develop that and the consistency for him, I think, to really have a lot of minutes, right? Say 25 or so in his rookie season. If he's not hitting that outside shot, well, Willie's not going to be able to play him as much as we probably want to see him.
Well, speaking of the outside shot, my last question is for you is about John Butler. You know, one of the least imposing 7-footers I've ever seen in terms of just from a size perspective, but that jumper is guard-like, you know, and he went 9 for 9 in that final game. Does he have a chance to make this roster? And I mean, how does he have a skill set that can be used as a 7-footer who can shoot like that?
Yeah, Jeff, the Pelicans have one remaining two-way contract available, and I'm curious how that's going to work out, right? Sebron has one of them, and the Pelicans have 15 guys already under contract on the regular roster, and they haven't even signed EJ Liddell yet. So is Liddell going to get that other two-way that's available? Are they going to maybe work something out differently with him? Are they going to create some space right on the roster, maybe trade away or waive Garrett Temple because you just don't see a role for him, or some other trade, right? But Butler, yeah, he definitely has to pique your curiosity. I mean, he's 7'1", and you're right. That last game, it's not that fact that he didn't miss a shot. It's the fact that, like you said, he looks like a shooter. He moves out there very fluidly and knows how to get into those space. And when it's a 7'1" guy, you can't block that guy's shot.
He doesn't see you.
Even though they knew, you know, he was hot, they couldn't do anything to, you know, stop him from shooting those threes. So I think there's a lot of value in that. So you want to keep him. You want to bring him at least to training camp. So I'm expecting him in training camp. And you got to think, if he plays halfway decently, he'll end up some way, one or another, with the Pelicans organization, whether that's just on the G League contract or maybe something more if he really impresses.
For sure. And thank you so much, Ollie. Great insight, as always. Check out his latest work on the bird rights. And, you know, as we get into this Pelican season, there's going to be a lot. Thanks so much for coming on, Ollie.
All right. Thanks, Ollie.
Absolutely, guys. Yeah, take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
You as well. All right. We're going to get into one of our final breaks here. We're coming up to the end, but we do have a few people waiting on hold. I want to get to all those calls before we go off the air. So stick around.
Philip Wayne, Longshoreman, will be right to you.
We'll get to you. All right. We're going to do a speed round here as we get into the final minutes. I want to get to these three calls we've been waiting on hold. First, we have Philip, who's out in Mississippi. He has a story about Sam Mills. We were talking about a bit earlier. Goes into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Philip, you there?
Hey. How y'all doing?
All right,
good,
Phil.
Man. Thanks for hanging out.
All right, Bobby, I'm going to make it quick.
Okay.
Vince Fangio, when he came with Jim Mora to the Saints as his linebacker coach, well, he was with Jim Mora, you know, in the USFL.
Right.
So when Sam Mills was trying out to make the team in the USFL, okay, and it came down to cut down day, all the coaches and management in the meeting room deciding who's to stay and who to get cut. Someone suggested, well, hey, Sam Mills should get cut because he probably wouldn't make it because of his size. Well, Vince Fangio stood up and spoke for Sam Mills to say, hey, not so fast.
Right.
If you're gonna cut Sam Mills, you need to cut every other linebacker because Sam Mills is better than all of them. And then we all know, you know, he went on to be the best linebacker in the USFL and came to the Saints with Jim Mora.
Yeah, you know, Philip, what you were saying is that, and if you know they don't have the USFL at that time, Sam probably has to go in the real world and get a different job because he got cut by the Cleveland Browns in the NFL initially, and then he went to the Canadian Football League, got cut Canadian Football League, and then the USFL came into being. You know, they formed the teams in 82, but it started playing the games in 83, and Jim Mora got Sam Mills in the camp with the Philadelphia Stars. And then but, Philip, a lot of people don't know this. Vic Fangio was familiar with Sam Mills, but actually, if you look at our defensive coordinator under Coach Mora, it was Steve Sidwell. Coach Sidwell was the defensive coordinator, and Vic Fangio worked more with the outside linebackers, with Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling, and Coach Sidwell worked more with the inside linebackers, Sam Mills and Von Johnson. Now, Vic worked with all of them, but, you know, they break it down. Like, even now, you have a defensive back coach working with safeties. You have a defensive back coach working with corners. But even that was that much detail because Coach Mora's background, Coach Mora, when he was an NFL coach, and you know who was his roommate? You know what's crazy about this? You know who was Coach Mora's roommate? Jack Kemp. He ran for president, like as a Republican. He was quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. I played at the same time with his son Jeff Kemp, who's with the Seattle Seahawks. But Coach Mora was a D line coach in the NFL, so Coach Mora didn't know anything about offense. But he was a defensive guy. But more, his expertise was defensive line, like Ryan Nielsen. Coach Mora would have been, when he first started coaching professionally, would have been like the Ryan Nielsen of a team. I want to say he was with the Seahawks when they were in the AFC at the time. But anyway, that Vic Fangio, Steve Sidwell, that's the ones to me that got to get credit, Philip, for the Dome Patrol and Sam Mills and their play.
For sure. Thank you for the call, Philip. We have another Sam Mills call. We have Wayne in New Orleans. I know he has a question about the jersey that Sam Mills will be wearing going into the Hall of Fame. Wayne, you there?
How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Wayne.
How you doing, Bobby?
All right. What
hey,
you buddy, got?
How you doing?
All right.
Listen, a lot of things don't get me, and I don't get paid on a lot of things, but it seems like I watch NFL Network, watch ESPN, and it's showing Sam Mills with his with his Carolina attire, not the Saints attire. He cut his teeth in the NFL with the Saints.
Well, when you talk about like film on him, like showing his career, highlight package with the Panthers and the Saints. Well, that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I think that.
And then the pictures, you know, like they have the picture of the enshrinees. They have a picture of Sam with his Carolina. I'm just dumbfounded, you know, because he only played there 3 years, right?
Yeah, he was very impactful. He only played there 3 years. They built a statue of him. But what he's famous for is the Dome Patrol. Come on. Look at NFL Network, the best linebacking core in pro football history is the Dome Patrol. So that's why, Wayne, I'm all aboard you. That's a bunch of bull. The Saints should be emphasized more than the Panthers when it comes to Sam Mills.
Thanks so much for the call, Wayne. We're going to hit one more break, and then we'll be back on WWL. All right, back here for one final segment. We made it, Bobby, and we have one call left. We got Longshoreman. We only have a few minutes here, so let's be quick. But what you got for us, Longshoreman?
Hey, thanks, my buddy. How you doing, Bobby, and your sidekick there, man? I'm enjoying the last part of the show. What I got is, man, you got to love a troll like Joe from Mandeville. I mean, Jack from Covington. Sorry, Jack from Covington. No, I'm sure Jack we could all drink a beer together. When it comes to football, I don't think we're going to agree on a lot of things. But what I wanted to ask him, how do you come with this prediction that, like, you so believe in what Vegas has come up with, and he's questioning Bobby Hebert, that how do you think they're going to win 10 games? Well, how do you think Vegas – has Vegas ever been wrong? Answer me that question.
Well, here's what I would say. Well, if you're so confident they're not going to win 10 games, bet the under.
Yes, bet the under. Yeah.
Put money on it, and then we'll come back at the end, and we'll see how much money you have and how much money I have. I won't have a lot because I never do, but yeah.
Right. Let's just put the ball down and play the games and see what happens, because if this Saints team stays healthy, I think we're going to get 10 or more. But my question, too, Bobby, how many games is Dallas going to win this year?
I think because they still win the NFC East, you know, I say NFC East, until the Giants or the Commanders now, Washington Commanders do something different.
I do like Brian Daboll. I think the Giants are going to get better with Brian Daboll as head coach.
And then I look at the Eagles. I'm not going to poo-poo the Eagles simply because I don't know how we match up against them.
I'm ready to poo-poo the Eagles. How
they've taken it to us. You know, people might be Jalen Hurts fan, but I don't know. He plays common. He's had a lot of success against us. But I love it. If I always take the approach, if the Saints don't win, then I don't feel as bad if Dallas loses too. So, I mean, I'm looking at the Eagles, not that I'm even an Eagles fan, because I remember I was taunting the Eagles fans when we put it to them in the Dome the last time they were here. But I don't know. I still view Dallas potentially could represent the NFC East. But they're not where the preseason predictions, Tampa Bay, the Packers, or the Rams. They're not on that level. Come on. All right, Longshoreman, thank you, man.
Thanks so much for the call. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for everyone who followed along on Sports Talk tonight. I'm Jeff Nowak, joined by Bobby Hebert in the passenger seat.
Yep.
Thanks so much for everyone that helps us put this show on the air. Thanks most to Charlie Long at Master Control, Diane Newman, Ian Ho, Kevin Cassidy. And thanks for everyone who listened. It's been fun.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints. Cowboys, 500 team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.